Hello and welcome back to the show, Domestic Violence for Men. I'm your host, Andy Reyna. I know it's been a while since I was able to do an episode or get some information out, but you know, I've really been doing some thinking about domestic violence and the abuse towards anybody that is in a situation where they are suffering from abuse. And, you know, it really dawned on me after I thought about it. And to me, it kind of fell into two spectrums. And we're going to jump into this during the show. It fell into two sort of gamuts, if you will. Excuse me. You got to excuse me, guys. For the last week or so, I've been dealing with sickness and kids bringing home sickness, and it's been passing around this house. So, again, another reason why I haven't been able to do much on the podcast. But I'm better now, and hopefully this show gets kicked off on a weekly basis more than what it has been. I know I need to get some traction out there and get some content for you guys. So, this is something that's just been on my mind, and I really want to dive into it. So what I mean by the two facets or two spectrums of domestic violence and or abuse, let's just say abuse for general purposes. So, you know, I've been doing some thinking about this, and I realized that in an abusive relationship, there's two spectrums taking place. One is the abuser, and the other one is the person receiving the abuse. So let's kind of dive into what I've learned in my experience in being in an abusive relationship, and the experiences I had, and, you know, the things that I've learned throughout this experience, and some of the things that I spoke to my counselor about. And then we'll dive into the other facet of it, is the person receiving the abuse. So from what the things that I've learned in the process of all this, and the things that I've learned from my counselor, kind of boil down to very remedial things that you don't see in a, excuse me, in a relationship. So after speaking to my counselor several times, my counselor revealed to me that people who are abusive typically suffer from abuse that they received as a child, or trauma they received as a child. So before I go any deeper into the subject, I just want to make sure that I'm not giving excuses for anybody for their actions, for their words, or for their abuse that they put towards people. So I just want to make that perfectly out there. And that's my disclaimer, is that no way, shape, or form am I making excuses. So the way it was explained to me was that people who are abusive or take advantage of people or narcissistic or manipulative, and the list goes on of kind of labels you can put on these individuals, is that they suffered from some sort of trauma, and in 9 times out of 10, they were abused as a child. Now, that abuse ranges from either verbal abuse, physical abuse, in some cases, sexual abuse, and in other cases, extreme cases, a combination of all of those all put together. So the other thing that my counselor brought to my attention was that people that are abusive towards others fall into the realm of what psychologically, the psychological realm of a pedophile. By no means am I saying that, excuse me, that abusers are pedophiles. In some cases, they are. So that group I'm not even going to talk about or even dive into, that because that's a whole different mess that I don't even feel like even wanting to begin to dive into. So psychologically, abusers or people that are abusive have the same sort of psychological traits and attributes that pedophiles have. So what that basically means, and what that breaks down to mean, is that people that are abusive are predatory. So they seek out their victims, and when they seek out their victims, they sense people who are caring, who are loving, who are in some cases very gullible or understanding, or have attributes, personal attributes, that they can take advantage of. So they basically smell out their prey, and in doing so, they will use different tactics or different plays, if you will, to bring somebody into a relationship with them. And, you know, it's very subtle in the beginning. It's very, very quick. I wouldn't say very quick. Let me retract that statement. It's a very slow, methodical plan that they have in their mind to get this individual in a position where they can become abusive towards them. It doesn't happen right out the box because, I mean, quite honestly, if you were dating somebody, if you just met somebody and they, you know, were a jerk to you or were abusive towards you or verbally abusive towards you or cut you down or yanked the rug from underneath you, would you really spend more time with them? And the answer is no. So these are just some things that my counselor brought to my attention. Excuse me. And these are some things that, you know, I want to bring to other people's attention, is that these are some of the red signs to look for when somebody is love bombing you, when somebody is saying, I love you, within just a few months of meeting them. If somebody is giving and giving and giving their all towards you, and then uses that as leverage to go, well, you know, I did this for you. I did these things for you, and you're being a jerk to me. You know, these are all sort of chess plays that people do in order to be in a powerful, more manipulative, more controlling position. And reflecting on my case, it was a very, it was a very slow process, but at the same time, it was a very fast process in retrospect. excuse me. Hold on. Let me just take a quick drink here. I apologize. But in my case, it was one of those things where it was a very fast process. It was, you're the person for me. You're my everything. I love you. And this all happened within months of meeting. You know, I'll do anything for you. I'll put my family, I'll put you before my family, I'll put you before anything. And it was just like, you know, very overwhelming. And I probably should have listened to my gut, but, well, we all know how that works out. But anyway, so that aspect of an abusive relationship, I pretty much covered, although I'd like to, in some podcasts, I like to get into the psychological breakdown, of an abuser. In another podcast, probably I like to get into the psychological breakdown of a person who becomes the one that receives the abuse, and maybe I'll go down in the road in the future. Maybe I'll do a podcast on that. I know I'm getting some material together. I've been doing a lot of research on it, staying up late, trying to get some notes together. So hopefully those sort of podcasts start evolving. But let's jump into another aspect, or the other dynamic of this abusive relationship. And we all know that when it comes to relationships, there are two people involved. So let's not, by any means, let's not kind of marginalize the person that's receiving the abuse. So what does that actually look like? What does that dynamic look like? Typically, people who end up in an abusive relationship are people who are very empathetic, people who are very understanding, people who give the benefit of the doubt towards people, and people who, on a psychological spectrum, are pretty much in the middle. You know, they're not extreme narcissistic. They're not extreme. What's the word I'm looking for? Introverts. You know, these people kind of range back and forth in the normal scale of a psychological spectrum. So these sort of people live their lives and lead their lives. And, you know, they bump into people or, you know, coincidentally, people who are abusive. But what I really want to talk about, though, is something that hit me hard the other day, is that people who are in an abusive relationship and get out of an abusive relationship are strong individuals. I want to put that perfectly clear. It takes a lot of mental strength. It takes a lot of physical strength. It takes a lot of gut and grit to get out an abusive relationship. I know that was the case for me, and I know that's the case for a lot of people. And I'm not trying to downplay it by any means, because believe me, I was in one for 10 years. But something that really hit me hard the other night, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, it really did, was that being in an abusive relationship and getting out of an abusive relationship, and I'm trying to find a diplomatic way to put this, but I really can't. So I'm just going to be very blunt when I say this, is that I don't want to use the term victim. I don't want to use the term survivor. I want to start saying no more excuses. In a lot of cases, getting to the final leg of the race of recouping and recovering from an abusive relationship is coming to a standpoint of making no more excuses. Oftentimes, I know I find myself saying, well, this person did this, this person did that. But at the end of the day, if we don't reflect on ourselves and what we allow to take place, then we are not taking responsibility for our side of the fence or our side of the dynamic in an abusive relationship. Our responsibility is for ourselves and for our children and for our family. And we as individuals can no longer make excuses for what people do, what people say, and how people act. The only thing that we can actually do as being individuals who are in an abusive relationship or who are currently in one or are currently trying to get out of one is that we cannot allow people to do that to us anymore. So we have to take a stand. And once you take a stand, and you start making that move to extract yourself out of an abusive relationship, you begin to see that you no longer make excuses why something happened. And I'll be honest with you, I know being in an abusive relationship, I made excuses for that individual and for myself many, 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 many times. And we have to get to a point where we say no more excuses. No more excuses for accepting behavior. No more excuses for somebody controlling us. No more excuses for allowing individuals like that to get into our space. And we have to be strong. And we have to support each other. And what I found that has helped me a lot, and this is going to be a big shout out, to two individuals in particular. And I highly recommend anybody who's in an abusive relationship, who is dealing with a narcissist, a controller, a manipulator, anything along those lines. There are two individuals that I highly recommend that you go and check out. One of them is Little Shaman, and she can be found on YouTube and she can be found on Twitter. The other individual is Ross, and let me make sure I'm getting his name right. And then in the midst of all this podcast, I want to make sure that I got his name right. So let me look up his name. I can't remember his last name off the top of my head. Rosenberg, I believe. Rosenberg. Yep. So Ross Rosenberg is his name. And he has a book called The Human Magnet Syndrome. I highly recommend people to look at his book, to read his book, to look at some of his material online. But those two individuals, and I can distinctly remember in my realization and in my process of trying to understand the dynamic of the situation that I was in, I would listen to Little Shaman podcasts on my way to work. And they were like maybe a couple minutes long, 10 minutes long. But they were very revealing and they really helped me out. They helped me understand the dynamic of a narcissist. They helped me understand people who are manipulative. They just really kind of dug to the quick and dirty of what people can do. Ross Rosenberg, his book, gave me the understanding of codependency and just helped me understand the dynamic of why I was drawn to an individual of this nature. And why and how, actually, more importantly, how I can see myself and see things in other people. And the funny thing is, when I first started listening to stuff and first started researching and reading all this stuff, I often came across the phase of once you get to a point, you'll start recognizing different traits in individuals that will red flag you, that you'll be like, huh, do I really want to be around this individual? And in some cases, it may be family members, it may be friends, it may be somebody that you meet in the grocery store, but you'll eventually get to a point where you'll start picking up on traits. You'll start seeing things in individuals that your gut will start telling you, your instincts will kick in, because they've been so nullified over years of abuse. They'll start sharpening up and you'll start picking up on things of people where you'll, you know, pull away from somebody and you'll say, well, why am I pulling away from them? And as you start going through this process, as you start thinking about it, you'll go, oh yeah, you know what? I remember reading that. Oh yeah, you know what? I remember hearing that on a podcast. So these are things that I encourage people to do. I cannot stress enough where learning is everything. Without knowledge, you do not have power, and without power, you cannot move forward. So just as a quick recap here, I want everybody to understand that the whole premise, the whole meat behind this whole podcast is that we, as people who were in an abusive relationship, we cannot make excuses for ourselves anymore. We cannot make excuses for the people that did the abuse to us. The only thing that we can do is we could say that we allowed somebody like that in our lives and they took advantage of us. And we allowed them to. And once we accept the fact that we allowed somebody to do that to us, that's when the moment will come where we no longer allow that to happen. So before ending this podcast, I want to ask that anybody that listens to this, give me feedback, please. If you have any questions, please send them in. But the second thing I really want to really drive home is that people in an abusive relationship, I'm with you and I stand for you. And I'm here to give you strength. I'm here to give you prayers. I will stand with you arm in arm. And I will help you along the way. I will pass on all the information that I have. I will pass on the series of sessions that I had with my counselor with all the information I received from her, and big shout out to her. I will pass on information that I've read and research that I've done. And this is all to help somebody, and hopefully it'll help somebody to realize one day that I need to step out of this mess and get my life together. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this. I want to thank everybody who's taken their time to take this all in. And again, I encourage everybody, please give me your feedback. If you have any questions at all, please send them in. I know these podcasts probably aren't audio quality right now, but I'm trying to build up my audio equipment and hopefully get more and more podcasts out. So again, I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you guys for taking your time and listening to me. And hopefully I will catch you guys next week if these children will get healed and not pass around any more sickness in the house. So again, thank you guys, and have a good week. And I'll talk to you soon.